There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, see this? The Dow in the green, S&P 500 in the green, NASDAQ, as well as markets are recovering today until they time something else out to make the markets plummet. Hey, it's Midday Mobile, and it's Wednesday, Ash Wednesday edition of the show. Glad to have you along. Live local talk over the next 2 hours. Actually, we're going to do a retrospective on the Mardi Gras that was Steve Joynt from the Mobile Mask coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Some of the numbers out there, the numbers of parade attendees for yesterday, I think we're like, what, 123 or something like that for Fat Tuesday. Pretty good. It was Big Joe Kane Day. It was a big floral parade Saturday as well. Look at some of those numbers, some of the stories, some of the bigger stories out of Mardi Gras this year when Steve joins us in hour number two. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk to Representative Shane Stringer, and I'll talk more about that. If y'all weren't listening this morning, I'll explain why we're going to talk to Representative Stringer and a specific bill we're going to talk about here in just a little bit. But yeah, so the market's looking okay today. Now, they're in the green. Now, mind you, though, they were down in a ditch, right, and having to pull back out of this as they're rebounding today. We got a long way to go after 2 days of losses for and remember Monday on the show, it was the frustration that at least I had. It seemed like this coronavirus story was a story that had been going on for months, right? And all of a sudden the market decided on Monday it was going to make the correction, but stocks are trying to pull back some of that. But you had really big losses over the last 2 days. But back in the green, and hopefully heading back in the right direction here. But I mentioned this on Monday, and I don't know. There's probably plenty of people that have some overnight radio show or have some kind of something you can watch on YouTube will tell you they can absolutely know and tell you who is pulling the strings, making the market move like it is. I just think it's suspect at some points when the market moves all at one time versus over, you know, that finally something happens, somebody does something, sells a certain amount, the computers kick in, then everybody starts selling off and you have these drops like we had Monday and Tuesday in the market versus over time people going, you know, this coronavirus thing, look at this business, look at that business. They're probably not going to be, their quarterlies aren't going to be as good. We probably need to get out of this. But the other part of this is the politics of it. So this, to me, has to be the biggest issue for President Trump to worry about. Okay, how about this? President Trump's reelection campaign to worry about. Because this is the one thing. The Democrats, there wasn't anybody in Charleston last night that could have beaten President Trump that I saw last night out of the Democrats. But what could beat President Trump is this market. And if this continues to go down because it's driven by coronavirus fears or whatever, that could be one of the more effective candidates working against President Trump. So I think that's probably got to be of utmost concern to the campaign, something they're looking at. But right now, the market's coming back and responding. But it's still, once again, they're coming back. But I think what the market, when it's 5.8, hold on. Yeah, it's like 6% sell-off of the market. So it's going to be it's going to be significant to get those earnings back and get the, but it is at least trending the right direction today. All right. Coming up here in just a couple minutes, Representative Shane Stringer will join us. And it's a bill we talked about this morning that is a proposal to have a statewide database when it comes to concealed carry permits. So right now, the way it works, you get your concealed carry permit from your county, from your sheriff. And I don't know how much of that is already shared or at what level that information is shared. Mind you, this isn't records like nobody committed. This is just you have a concealed carry permit, right? Okay, so with that bill, they're proposing to link this through so you would have a statewide, and it's supported by the Sheriff's Association of the State of Alabama, that you would have this statewide database that would give the information to the officers, I guess, coming up to a vehicle or something like that, that would let you know that, would let them know that this person does indeed have a concealed carry permit, something to that degree. A lot of people were asking, and obviously it's being discussed in the idea of keeping officers safe, keeping law enforcement safe. But y'all asked some very good questions this morning, I think some fair questions, that are people with concealed carry permits, are they the ones that, you know, we've had seven officers killed in the last year, seven members of law enforcement killed in the last year, but the fair question is, was it somebody with a concealed carry permit that did it? At least in the stories I've seen, it's not in a single case, it's not somebody with a concealed carry permit. But they're talking about this would help keep law enforcement officials safer. So it's not about permitting, it's about safety here. This is a bill that is sponsored by Representative Stringer. He says it's a huge step towards saving law enforcement lives. So we'll talk to him about that here in just a couple minutes. He's going to join us on Midday Mobile. As you hear the discussion, you got specific questions, you can always text them in to 343-0106. 343-0106. We'll get those asked. All right. So that's happening, and then we're going to check in on some more Montgomery stories this hour, and then we'll take it to the Mardi Gras as well in hour number two with Steve Joynt. It is the Ash Wednesday edition of Midday Mobile. Glad you're here.
With Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. And as we've mentioned going into the news break, joined by Representative House District 102, Shane Stringer. Thanks for your time.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
No, it's they don't respect Fat Tuesday in Montgomery. So y'all been in session for this is day two already this week.
That is correct.
And I saw a note here, and we talked this morning about a piece of legislation, and I want to get you, since it's your bill here that we're talking about. Let's get you to lay it out for us. It's about concealed carry permits in a way, right? Or what? You know what? You tell me. What is it about?
This bill stems from something that came up last year in last session. We had basically it's a lifetime permit bill, but there was a lot of issues and concerns that got brought up from the sheriff's perspective. You know, from permits looking different across the state, from law enforcement officers not being able to access to know if a permit that's being visible is current. So after the session last year, that bill did not pass. We asked the sheriff to start working on coming up with standardized procedure across our state so all of our permits are consistent and everything is done properly. We've been working on that. The Sheriff's Association has been trying to develop a better system to do this. As of current, every sheriff's department has its own individual system that it keeps the information from pistol permits in. This would put all of that into one system that would be operated out of Montgomery, the Montgomery County Sheriff's Department, one central location to house that information. This would make it available if an officer stops somebody at night, he can look to see if those permits are valid. This House Bill 39 that's been passed by Proxy Roberts, which I've been working with him and doing it. I like his concept and I like some of the stuff in his deal. But I also had some concerns with it. One of the concerns was they were going to put on our permit, on our driver's license, that we had a pistol permit. And that concerned me because I travel across the country, and I was afraid that might cause me to be targeted in airports or somewhere like that. I think that he and I have talked, that's not going to be on there, so that problem is fixed. The other major problem I had with his bill was the... right now, the sheriffs are constitutional officers. They are responsible for our information that they have on file for our pistol permits. If the FBI or DOJ or a federal agency calls them wanting a copy of everybody that's got a pistol permit in Mobile County, Sam Cochran don't have to give it to them. If we move this under House Bill 39, we're putting the pistol permits under a state agency in Montgomery, which are not constitutional officers. And, you know, I feel like we're fine with the governor we have now, with the president we have now. But if we get a liberal president like Bernie Sanders or someone, or a liberal governor, that could change, and that could mean our information being released. And I don't like that. So what I've done in my bill, House Bill 308, was to try to put some protective measures in there to help, you know, help ours. Believe it or not, my House Bill 308 and House Bill 39 are pretty similar. The NRA and some other groups are putting out that I'm creating this database to track pistol permit owners, when that is not the case. They're already in a database in their local sheriffs. This House Bill 39, being sponsored by Proxy Roberts, is almost identical. Instead of calling it a database, they're calling it a repository in Montgomery that all of this information be put in. So this is hopefully, you know, I feel like in the long run, there's going to be something good come from it in trying to fix some of the irregular issues that we're having across our state. As far as the lifetime permit, I think that's something we need to consider and look at. We just need to make sure the checks and balances are in place to do the updated background checks to deal with this, which I think in reading House Bill 39 that Proxy Roberts has some of that in there.
Hey, just joining us, Senator Representative Shane Stringer, also not just a representative, somebody with a lifetime of law enforcement knowledge and takes that to Montgomery. I get what you're saying. I want to circle back, though, because it was certain, I remember we talked about this last year, certain counties are not at the same level with their concealed carry permit information, correct? Yes. They're not living up to what other counties do. Is that fair to say?
That is correct. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
So is it better, and I guess it is because y'all look at this legislation, is it better to do this and incorporate it into one repository doing that versus going to those counties and saying, y'all got to do better? You know, come in and say, y'all got to fix this. You got to be up to the same level as everybody else.
That is correct. And, you know, putting it under one roof is not a problem.
But that's worrisome to a lot of folks. It, you know, Representative Stringer, a lot of people worry about that.
That is correct, and I worry about it. So that is a concern of mine. You know, we've got to make sure, you know, I support our gun rights and our permit rights, but I just want us to make sure we're not putting our information into a system under the wrong persons that this could get released at some later date. You know, like I said, I don't worry about it as much now, but in the future, this could happen.
One of the things with this permitting, you know, to know the arrows system here, for law enforcement to know who has that concealed carry permit when they're coming up on a vehicle, I mean, couldn't you as... The concealed carry permit holders, I mean, we think about this tragic, deadly year for law enforcement in Alabama, and I don't think in any of those cases that was a concealed carry permit holder, right? It's the rarest of the rare scenarios that a concealed carry permit holder.
That is correct. Well, this is not saying that the people that are carrying guns that are lawful gun owners are the ones doing these crimes, but you got to think about this. This is the ones that have gotten a pistol permit and then turned around and gotten in some trouble or become prohibited of some sort, and it helps us to track that. What we have done is to try to better serve with our permit systems by incorporating more information, which truthfully should have been in our system a long time ago, which is trying to get a better history of people that are bad guys, get a more of a list or I guess a group, you know, to be able to show who is your bad guys and your bad actors.
I want to ask a couple questions that come in here on the text line. This one said, I've always heard that the federal DOJ statistics say that people with a valid concealed carry permit commit crimes at a rate less than sworn law enforcement officers. Do you know if that is true? And then they say, about this bill, I don't see how it would do any good. None of the officers killed around our state were shot at a traffic stop by somebody with a legal concealed carry permit. Kind of what we're just talking about. So the first question there, the rate of violent crime from concealed carry permit holders.
I do not know the answer to that, but I would not doubt that that is true. This bill is not trying to say that lawful pistol permit owners are the problem or an issue. This is just trying to keep the basically what we have done is we have taken the information from last session, the basically the criticisms that our sheriffs have gotten last session, and the reason they wanted to change it and do it under a state database. And we've taken the changes and we've tried to implement those into our own system to where our sheriffs are controlled. Like I said, our sheriffs are constitutional officers. I would rather Sam Cochran be in charge of my information than someone in Montgomery. I mean, matter of fact, not just somebody, but somebody that don't even want this. You know, several years ago, we did a metal database because of all the metal theft that was going on across the state, and that was given to a state agency, and it don't even that system don't even function now.
So, really,
you know, this is something. It's not trying to target our pistol permit owners or say that they are the problem. That's not it at all. This is in response to our criticisms from last year from representatives whenever this bill was going on.
Yeah, I do like the, you know, and talking to Sheriff Cochran in specific, but other people in law enforcement, I do like the local angle because they have an insight into what goes on in their county better than anybody else, right? Somebody who maybe it wouldn't show up in records right yet somewhere like Montgomery or Washington, but they know that this person, they may need to question whether this person does get a permit.
That's right. To me, our sheriffs are another checks and balances between us and big government. You know, we're basically, if we do this House Bill 39, we're moving, then our permit information is going to be not at the local level at that point. It's going to be at the state level. And that's just one less layer of protection, in my opinion.
Okay. So if this passes, what kind of, in the short version, if it passes, what will change? What will a guy like me with my concealed carry permit in Mobile County, what will change for me?
Your permit will be distributed out of Montgomery, and your information will be housed in Montgomery. The as far as the system, it's the exact same system that is being proposed in House Bill 39, which is just a statewide system to keep up with our pistol permits.
Okay. All right. We'll watch this. And this is this out of committee yet, or where does this stand?
It's not even been assigned a committee yet. I'm expecting that it'll be assigned a committee here soon.
All right. You've got about 2 minutes left here, so I've got a couple other questions. This week, what's been at the top of the docket for y'all in the House? Is it prisons, or is it lotto, or what are y'all talking about?
No, really, this topic right here has been the kind of the hot topic for the most part, and you know, we're looking at you know, still working on the prison reform, still working on the medical marijuana, still working on some hot topic big issues that the gaming is still being talked and discussed, and so we've got a lot coming up.
Will y'all, just other House members, just as across the board, you are talking about it, even though the governor said, hey, we're going to study this, which I have my own take on why
sure.
We're studying it now. But, I mean, but it sounds like that still, even though the governor has kind of, I don't know, tried to put it on ice, it seems like y'all are still talking about this. There's still discussion of lottery going on.
That is correct. There is a bill that's drafted. Matter of fact, there's several, but the one that I have seen and read is a looks like a pretty clean, good deal, and I'm expecting that it'll probably get dropped in the near future. I don't know what the politics will play into, whether, you know, how far it goes this session or whatever, but I'm a co-sponsor on it. I'd like to see us put it to the vote of the people and let them decide what we get.
There you go. All right, Representative Shane Stringer, thank you for your time. We'll check back with you real soon.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all for having me.
All right. Always a pleasure. Check it. District 102 rep Shane Stringer. Check it in from Montgomery. Yeah, they don't. That Montgomery does not respect the fact that it was Fat Tuesday yesterday, so they gaveled back in. Speaking of some bills with local attachment, the police jurisdiction bill has some movement. We'll talk a bit more about that coming up. Also, take your phone calls on this legislation at 343-0106, 343-0106. Looking at a couple of texts here. Brian says, and Fairhope says, bad guys are not going to bother with a pistol permit. I think that's probably true. This texter says, a data breach, which, by the way, unnamed texters, give yourself a, give me your first name or your first and last name or a nickname or something. Like to have some kind of, other than unnamed texter, I like to have that. But this texter says, a data breach like the Equifax breach would expose the personal information of all permit holders in the state if the centralized database was a thing and release a list of where to go steal guns to criminals, among other things. Yeah, I agree with you till the very end. I don't know. I think it may be a disincentive for the criminals to go to certain places if they knew those folks were armed. And, yes, and a outright plug for Mike Ward's Liberty Saves. Lock those guns up. You leave the house, lock those guns up for safety on all levels. All right, coming right back. 343-0106. This is Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, Dalton, did you hear the Wiedemann report? In that latest Italy coronavirus story, he's back. This guy, Ben Wiedemann, that works for Westwood One. I don't know if y'all have heard Dalton and I discussing him before. To us, he sounds like a famous character from a series of very funny movies. So I'll play the clip here, see if anybody hears what Dalton and I hear. Do the short one about the patients in Italy. All right, let's go to that one.
The first two cases, the first two people who were afflicted with this virus in Italy, a pair of Chinese nationals, have now recovered from the disease. It's important to keep in mind that Italy has a very well-developed public health system.
Anybody else hear what we hear in that? We'll take a call and some text on that. That reporter for Westwood, he just sounds like a character from a series of movies. Do I give the clue? Okay, I'll give the clue here in a second. Let's go to the phones at 343-0106. And Eric is in Mobile, wants to talk about the permit bill. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Sean, longtime listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
I appreciate what y'all do for the city and raising awareness. I'm originally from Louisville, Kentucky, and a friend of mine came down this past weekend. He asked me about, do you have a concealed carry permit requirement? And I said, yes. And he said, they just aborted it in Kentucky, or at least in Louisville. You do not have to have a permit. What's behind it, I don't know, but I thought it was interesting, you know, being a law-abiding citizen, but very concerned with the crime in Mobile, firsthand experience, and you know, I think there's plenty of people that are carrying that don't have a permit, but as far as what you're talking about, to me it's another level of documentation that ultimately can get to the federal level at the risk of sounding paranoid.
No, I don't think we try to be fair-minded about things here, and that's why I got the representative on. I wonder if they're not trying to fix a problem more than it needs fixed. Now, what the representative talked about, we talked about it last year, is true. There are some counties in the state that are not living up to the level of the other counties for issuing the concealed carry permits and keeping that data and inputting it, you know, to where they have it that they can go to and get it. Other law enforcement can access it. But it seems like we should just go fix those counties, right? Versus putting everybody else under this repository in Montgomery. Why don't we just go and say, hey, counties, you got to do this better. You sheriffs in these counties, you got to do it better.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I'm not for more, you know, databases and the speed of information is impressive, but not when we're talking you know, all the citizens in the state of Alabama are now in a central repository.
Yeah, you know, and what you're saying about like Kentucky and other states, yeah, there's a push to do away with concealed carry permits entirely. I think that bill comes up about every session in Montgomery, and the Alabama Sheriff's Association opposes it. Folks I know in law enforcement, from a sheriff's level to police level, they've opposed it as well. But you can make arguments and say, well, you know, the bad guys are not going to go get a permit anyway, so what does it matter, right? What does it do?
Exactly. And really, ultimately, aren't, you know, you and I and all your listeners, mainly, aren't we just talking about protecting law-abiding citizens, and it's the ones who have ill thoughts on their minds that I'm for much stricter punishment, and I'm sure everybody that's in the listening audience is as well. So more as time goes on, I think everybody's tired of being regulated or documented, or, you know, the law-abiding citizen, you have to come up with a defense, where I'm from arming most everybody, not the criminally insane or somebody
right.
who's not, you know. But if you have that going for you, Anyway, great show.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for exposing what's going on.
Hey, thanks, Eric. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. This texter says, and you can, let's see. The texter moved around quickly. Oh, yes. And people on the text line, y'all are right. I'll pay that off in a second, who I think that reporter sounds like. Brian says, no, not no, but hell no. I like the idea of making sure all the sheriff's departments are doing the same thing in regards to pistol permits, but issuing those permits and storing that information in one location in Montgomery is a really bad idea. Yeah, and Brian, that's kind of where I am with it. With due respect to Representative Stringer, who also member of law enforcement, and other people I talk to in law enforcement, I want, if there's a bill, if there's something out there to keep them safe, I'm for it. But I don't know how this keeps them safe, because, like we said, the bad guys get the firearms and not go through the concealed carry permit process. The counties that, and I almost feel like you'll be in a situation, you know, somewhere you work or some kind of group that there's an idiot or two that can't do right, so everybody gets put under whatever the new rule is, which is really a new rule just to deal with a couple idiots. You ever worked somewhere like that? You get some big new draconian policy at the company because there's some morons, and I've always asked, why don't you just get rid of the morons and let everybody else who's a grown-up here, you know, operate? But I've dealt with it places I worked over the decades that would be true. I kind of feel that same way about these sheriff's departments that are, because I want to make sure if they are issuing a concealed carry permit, with that comes when somebody looks at that concealed carry permit, you're vetted, right? You have been vetted by a sheriff. There's something to it. That's one of the reasons maybe that I don't mind them so much, because it shows, I think, when I see somebody, and I've thought about it before, if I would be selling a firearm or in a personal transfer or something like that, I like the idea of seeing a concealed carry permit for that person, because even if it's a long gun or something, a shotgun, it doesn't matter. It shows me there's been another level of vetting of that person. That's my personal decision to make. But I respect that, right? When I see that concealed carry permit, I go, okay, this person has been checked out. They have been at some level vetted within the last 5, 2, or 1 year. When you have a county that's not doing it correctly, it puts the whole thing in question, right? Because this other county out here issues a concealed carry permit, and they didn't cross the T's and dot the I's like they did, for example, in Mobile County. So that's worrisome. I agree with that. But why don't we deal with it? Is there any way? I mean, there's so much Montgomery in county politics, you know that. Like, the cities have home rules, but the county does not. We've talked about that before. There's a big, heavy hand of Montgomery coming back to the county. So it seems like they could work something, a bill that would require a minimum standard of questions and documentation and things to be done for that county to issue a concealed carry permit. And then if they failed it, you take it away from them. Then the people get ticked off. They kick that person out, the sheriff out, and they put somebody new in. That way you fix the offending county. You don't put everybody else underneath it. Okay, well, Donnie thought it was Ron Burgundy that Wiedemann sounds like. A lot of other people got it. This is the guy we're talking about right here, as people are guessing on the text line, who I think this guy sounds like. This guy right here.
Schools, universities, museums are closed to avoid people assembling and perhaps spreading the germs. Today is Ash Wednesday. There are no Ash Wednesday masses taking place. So there are being measures taken to try to stop the spread of the disease.
All right, so it is now, I've got some Monty Python character suggestions. I've got Ron Burgundy suggestions. But no, that's not who I and Dalton think Ben Wiedemann sounds like. We think Ben Wiedemann sounds like, well, go ahead and roll it, all right? We got that? We got the, okay, we'll get the audio very soon so we can compare and contrast. I don't know what happened with the system. It must be, maybe the computer had a big Mardi Gras. Okay, there it goes.
Famously self-improving boulangerie owner from Belgium with low-grade narcolepsy and a penchant for buggery. My mother was a 15-year-old French prostitute named Chloe with webbed feet.
All right, a little taste of Dr. Evil. Yes, Austin Powers, Dr. Evil, and the reporter for Westwood One, Ben Wiedemann, to me sound...
Schools, universities, museums are closed to avoid people assembling and perhaps spreading the germs. Today is Ash Wednesday. There are no Ash Wednesday masses taking place. So there are being measures taken to try to stop.
Okay, so there it is. There's a compare and contrast. That was it. It's just a little side discussion that we have that one of the reporters for the National News sounds like Dr. Evil. Okay, coming right back, we'll take your phone calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. It's cool that they got Dr. Evil doing live reports from Italy. It's a feather in the cap at Westwood One. All right, 1245, be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Thank you to those who have further confirmed on the text line that the Westwood One reporter and Dr. Evil sound like they're the same guy. Pretty big get for Westwood One. All right, phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. This is Midday Mobile. Take your phone calls and your texts. Let's go to the phones. Chris is in beautiful Orange Beach. And first up, hey, Chris.
Hey, Sean, how are you today?
I'm good, man. So what's your take on this permit bill?
Well, obviously, even in a Trump economy, the Dr. Evil can get legitimate employment. But the legislation that would put all of our information in one database, I think you're missing the boat on the reasons.
Okay.
I think that technology is the problem. One sheriff in one county's database is not compatible with a sheriff's database in another. One's using Apple, one's using Microsoft. It's not that some sheriff somewhere is not doing his due diligence or he's inappropriately doing it. It's that all this information being held separately in each county is not compatible with each other. And they're wanting to centralize everything. It's a bad idea. I don't want anybody to know I've got a gun, especially the government, until I show them the small end of it.
Well, they told me last year that it was actually, I think there's some of what you're talking about, but and they, I didn't get into specific counties, but there was one in particular they were talking about that said they weren't doing it at the level of the other sheriffs. Now, you know, I'm just taking their word for it, but they're saying, hey, they were falling down on issuing permits. I mean, that they weren't asking the same questions, doing the same things. So we got to get that fixed. But why don't we fix?
I think it's part of that too, but it's standardization. But I don't think that putting a database in Montgomery. I don't think putting anything in Montgomery.
No, and I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. So why don't we go to those counties that aren't doing it correctly and demand that they do? And then it's still in those counties, but we have a level that hey, y'all got to live up to this level.
Well, the sheriff is the highest official. Law enforcement official in his county, and he's kind of the king. Hard to tell those guys to do anything.
Although, watch Montgomery tell county. You've seen how Montgomery tells counties what to do, though. You know what I'm saying? They have to. Even the cost. Interesting. The cost it varies some from county to county for a concealed carry permit. They have to, if they're going to change that at all, they have to get it okayed out of Montgomery. The legislature has to tell the county what they can do.
This does not advance the singular citizen. Make me stop getting a permit.
There we go. Appreciate the call. Chris, thank you. 343-0106. Another couple bills looking at here quickly. I want to talk about number one, where are we with the, we'll call it the police jurisdiction bill. And it's, of course, it has an actual number and all that. But this is a, we've talked about this a couple times on the show with State Senator Chris Elliott about this bill that would change the time frame and offering police jurisdictions out there. And the argument that Senator Elliott makes, which is interesting, a little bit different than a lot of other people have made the argument. His is a taxation without representation discussion, which is an interesting one. Think about it. If you look at somebody inside a police jurisdiction, right? They're in the jurisdiction. There's taxes taken out of the jurisdiction, but those people, because they're outside the city, don't vote for the people who come up with that or impose that. So I think there's an interesting argument to be made there, and that's one of the ones that's being discussed right now in Montgomery. We've talked about it several times, but I think it's, you know, out of committee, and it will now, of course, look for a vote in the Senate and then go on to the House. But that's one we're watching because it does have some relevancy, obviously, here as the discussion of Mobile and the police jurisdiction go around. But we're not the only state. I mean, we're not the only city in the state to deal with this. This is going to, but we are one of the few states, if not the, no, I think there are two or three states total that still has the, still have the, I think it's two states. I have to go check. Two states, maybe three, that have police jurisdictions as part of the mix. All right, so that's one of the things I'm watching. Also, it's back, and I'll have to say, I discussed this the other day on the air with Dale Jackson. And he's probably right, and I'm idealistic about it, and he and I agree in premise, but his argument is that it's not going to happen for a bunch of reasons, and he may be right, because the grocery tax bill is back up again. This is the fact that we in Alabama were one of, what, two states that carry full freight taxes, sales taxes on groceries, and update here from AL.com. Said Alabama is among a minority of states nationwide that tax groceries. That could end soon under proposed legislation. The bill SB 144 from Senator Andrew Jones, Republican out of Center Alabama, would end the grocery tax. He says taxing food is wrong because it's a basic need. I agree with that, Senator. There's a lot of us in the state that agree with it. But the argument being made is, where are they going to get the money from? Here's what happens. That the... You say, okay, this is good, and then they're going to say, okay, well, where are we going to get that money from? And then nobody can agree on that. So, because there's four, okay, state tax is 4%. So, across Alabama, 4% state tax on food, sales tax, right? But Alabama state sales tax is 4%. Look at a place like Mobile, where we're talking about 10%, right? 10% is the full freight of the sales tax. That's being paid on groceries. And the argument that I think is fair to say, you want to talk about those who can least afford it. I mean, basics of life, taxing groceries at full freight, like you're buying, you know, whatever, you're buying a new piece of electronics, you can make the argument. The new piece of electronics is not something that you need to survive. It's 10%. I can argue that I think 10% is too high in sales tax, but it's not on a basic need of life. And we look at it in Alabama, you think about folks that are poor in the state and trying to get by, and here we are in Mobile, they're paying 10% on their groceries. So there's a lot of people, and listen, there's a lot of, like I said, this bill's proposed by a Republican. There have been many bills to remove this sales tax proposed by Republicans. There's Democrats that agree on it as well. So what's the problem? The problem is that they'll say, well, it's, you know, it's $500 million a year that goes to the state. So how are you going to replace that? That's where it gets off the rails. Then there gets to be the argument, well, you're not getting it from here, you're not getting it from there, we can't raise it over here, we can't raise it over there. So that's why it's SB 144, and it's been like for the last probably five or six sessions, there's been a bill to remove the state's portion of the grocery tax, or state's portion of the sales tax on groceries, that 4%. But remember, that's 4% plus whatever county municipal taxes are on top of it in different cities. But they can't figure out how to replace the money. So that's where It's where it gets derailed each time. So it's going to come back up. People will talk about it. AL.com's writing the story. Oh, look, here's the problem. I have to defer to Dale Jackson that it once again will probably be derailed because they can't. In the same way that last session the lotto bill was derailed, not because they didn't want to be putting a constitutional amendment up for lottery, it's because they couldn't figure out who was getting the money. Yes, there's the electronic lotto portion of it, and that side story as well, and that's valid. But the other big problem was some legislators wanted all the money to go to the ETF, the Education Trust Fund. Some wanted it to go all into the general fund. Some wanted a little bit to go over to here, a little bit to go over there in the mix. So one of the things at the end of session that absolutely shut down what was happening with the lottery was where the money went. Well, here is the inverse. You can probably get a lot of agreement to remove the grocery tax, bipartisan agreement, but where the disagreements come in is where they're going to replace that revenue from. You know, so maybe they do that with the lottery. Oh, yeah, they got to. I want the lotto bill, Alabama's prison lottery, right? And what happened to my idea about helping Alabama prison license plates? We got it for everything else. And then the prisoners would be making the license plates, and people would buy them, and you could ride down the road with a helping Alabama prisons license. It's just an idea, Montgomery. Just an idea. All right. We'll do a little recap on the Mardi Gras that was. Steve Joint for the Mobile Mask joins us next.